This is a continuation of a letter from Z. Charnot to Lynn Versutti, dated Sunday, April the 17th, 1988. I'm on page 2 of 13, second paragraph. Our whole orientation is different. We attract. We do not seek. We inform ourselves about and explore the whole field of nutrition as a base of knowledge. We look at and study case histories of subclinical deficiencies. Part of the means of doing so is through the Huxley Institute and orthomolecular medicine. Orthomolecular medicine is now an accredited branch of the AMA. Part of the means of doing so is through the Human Ecology Foundation and Dr. John McLennan, one of our new counselors. His specialty is environmental medicine or clinical ecology. We are building our counselor base very carefully and very methodically. It would be helpful if you and Doug could consider the meaning of being an independent counselor in another way. Each counselor or counselor family is unique in certain ways, not only in territory, but in style and interests, in skills and ability. If this were not so, the effectiveness of some of the counselors in the Cambridge Plan International would not have been discovered and have become the base of the counselor system. You may have noted that we now have counselors in distant locations, Montreal, Ottawa, and Hamilton. We have physicians, nurses, physicists, biologists, and chemists among our counselors. Heading: Uniqueness and Uniformity, Forms of Order. The kind of order involved in uniformity is not the only form of order common to life. Uniformity and regularity is supplemented, extended, and manifest by transcription and translation, which responds to the varying environments. Please see the enclosed brief document on uniqueness and uniformity. Heading: Living Organizations. Life is reflective, reactive, and responsive. Life acknowledges its environment. The postures, positions, motions, behavior, and states of an organism all interactively and interdependently change. Uniqueness, complementarity, fitting together, uniqueness with a oneness is an important form of order in living systems and living organizations. Heading: The Cambridge Formula is Baseline Nutrition. Nutrition is a very life-oriented subject. To commit the strategy of a subject as fundamental as nutrition to one or too few strategies is both unnatural and ineffective. The Cambridge Formula is Baseline Nutrition. It is not only or mostly a way to control and maintain your weight. Everyone can and should eventually reach their target weight. Then their use of the formula is not only or mostly to maintain their weight, but to sustain a baseline of nutrition. Some of the most immediate advantages to using the Cambridge formula is not from the supply of nutrients, but from the withdrawal from foods towards which there is an allergic and addictive response. I find that to sincerely benefit by the use of Cambridge is not a good idea to use it only once, twice, or even three times, supplementing food after a target weight is achieved. Heading: Alternatives. Dr. Jackson, one of my counselors and former head of the health sciences for the Science Council, states, if Cambridge wants to stay in business, they need to do some product development related to the allergy question. As I noted in a previous memo, a food allergy / addiction is often a cause of overweight. Moreover, overweight people often have a tendency to allergies. He mentions Jane Stewart, a Cambridge patron who developed an allergic reaction. She is the editor for the World Media Institute and is nominated for a post with the World Health Organization. She has gone off Cambridge. What are needed are alternatives, a formulation in which chickpeas are used in place of soybeans, almonds in place of peanuts, chocolate or caramel in place of carob, glucose or fructose in place of lactose. Dr. Jackson goes on to say, the optimum would be to have three or four non-overlapping formulations. He says more about systematic adaptation. Perhaps you have forgotten. I submitted text to you the first time you visited Domain. You were going to use it as a basis of a presentation. I need to use that text if you won't or can't. I submitted other text to John Schroeder and then to you at the Toronto Women's Show. There has been no word about processing approval for its use, except from Don, which approval was given immediately when I submitted it to him privately. He invited me to present it to the group. I did. You don't seem to have noticed that Don Schroeder called meetings for the company, Cambridge Nutrition Canada Limited. He was a voice which we heeded as having authority and which represented Cambridge Nutrition Canada Limited. His approval, in my eyes, constituted approval of the company. I complied with the rules. I know the rules. I have a responsibility to communicate those rules to others. The content of both your letter and Doug's letter did not acknowledge any deficiency in informing us about what constituted approval. We need to know what constitutes approval, from whom, by what means. Don Schroeder had a responsibility, but apparently no authority. Joan, in a recent telephone conversation, asked why we didn't report the poor state of the honey peanut bars to Dennis Jones. First, we didn't know him. Second, we didn't know we were supposed to. On the one hand, we were welcome to use the office in Mississauga when we were first introduced to the company. We were told that was why it was there. When we used it, we were criticized for tying up the telephone. We were promised in October mushroom soup in January. In turn, we reported this to patrons and downline counselors. It is April. We were promised identifying bar wrappers in October. Nothing yet. In April. We were promised John Baldock in January. We depended upon it. Nothing. In April. Heading. Consequences. I'm not saying any apology is due. I'm not even saying an apology is meaningful. I am saying that those experiences and others have consequences. You and Cambridge Nutrition Canada Limited are bearing those consequences. You don't want those consequences. Clarity and consistency in communication and attitude will avert those consequences. Quality and uniformity of the product is so shaky right now that I won't eat my former favorite, honey peanut. I have had so many bad experiences with it, I won't try it anymore. A stingy, acrid or sharp, sometimes sour or putrefied taste has put me off, and I won't propagate its use. Perhaps you don't know, but a customer of mine, when I was a federal counselor in the U.S. in New York State, a very well-known federal judge working through a counselor of mine who was a physician, got salmonella poisoning from product I transmitted to him. The heavy reliance upon milk products without an alternative is also deflecting. Heading, a distribution of consequences and a balance of incentives. In general, administration needs to be concerned not only or mostly with what might be lost, but what they might fail to gain. There must be a distribution of consequences and a balance of incentives. There must be a sense of the shifting context. This is not only or mostly the shifting context of business, but the shifting context of the whole culture, which involves the use and meaning of food, since the products and services of the company involve food.